Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. All week long, my brother Jesse's been out in Ohio power preaching every evening. And Jess, I just got to tell you, we'll be glad when you're back safely. I know it's not easy traveling, and thank you for spreading the word, brother.
Oh, absolutely, Terry. People are annoying about Virgin Most Powerful Radio every single night out here. They're saying, how can I listen to you? I said, you can listen to me 5 days a week. Are you kidding me? Do you talk? I said, I talk just like this. I lose my Friday, I'm losing my voice, but it's okay. All for Jesus.
Amen.
Just want to give a shout out to all the people here at Mary Help of Christians Church in Fort Recovery, Ohio. And Father Ned, the pastor.
Yes.
Great pastor, Father Mike. Just holy priest. What a blessing. Terry, what a blessing to see that there's a lot of people out there on board with orthodoxy and with the authentic teachings of the church.
Yeah. Jesse, I know a lot of parishes in Ohio are like that. It is a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it is.
You know, yeah, to see that, it's not as common as you'd want.
And they're very beautiful, traditional parishes. Yeah. They look like the European parishes. I'm like saying, wow, that's like, I feel like I'm back in Europe, a thousand years ago.
Sure. Well, that's great. Well, today's show, Jess, as you know, we're going to have some soul food. We always do that. But we have this interview with Bishop Snyder, Athanasius Snyder, about COVID rules, maybe a kind of prefiguration of the mark of the beast. Now, this is what I happen to agree with when you read what the bishop is saying. It makes total sense. He's going to handle a lot of questions about COVID. And by the way, we're waiting now for a response. We're going to have Bishop Strickland and Bishop Athanasius Snyder on together on Virgin Most Powerful. We had that set up this month, and we've had to reschedule it. But when we have it, everybody, you won't want to miss that. Also, we've got the Strength and Honor segment with the Church Militant. Kim Tosser is going to be taking the place for Michael Voris, but we're going to be talking about what's going on with the news there, the three segments that they have on their show. So that'll be interesting. But before we get to, and also I love the new section that you and I have come up with that on a consistent basis, a need to know file.
Yeah.
There's some things that go on and you just go like, I'll just give you one quickie. Like, did you
know? Yeah, give us the good. Yeah,
you know, did you know one. That France, are you ready for this, folks? France is going to give contraception to any woman under the age of 25. Now, this is a country, Jesse, that has a birth rate that's so low, they're losing their population, and they're just going to add to that? Now, I would like to see that we'd have more of a response from Holy Mother of the Church when the bishops and the priests are going to scream about that and say, you can't do that, and not have some layman dressed like some Mexican guy, Jesse Romero or Terry Barber, condemn it, because we're not in management. But whenever I hear these things about good-to-know files, we're going to pass them on to you. So before we do any more of our interviews, our good-to-know files, let's get some gospel into our soul.
Gospel, as I told you the other day, G-O-S-P-E-L.
Yes.
God's only Son provides eternal life. G-O-S-P-E-L. Today's gospel is the gospel. I just lost my page. It's a good one because it talks about spiritual warfare, which is always, here it is.
Sure.
Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verse 6. The Holy Gospel tells us, and it's talking here about our Lord Jesus Christ proclaiming the kingdom and healing the sick. And here's what it says. Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick nor sack nor food nor money, and let no one take a second tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. And as for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them. Then they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Very short gospel, but first of all, everything in salvation history is based on authority. It starts from God the Father. That's the origin and source. then everything is based on authority. You got family authority starting with the father. You got civil authority starting with government. Doesn't mean that everybody we vote in for in government is ordained by God. Just the institutions, military, law enforcement, judges, presidents, senators, that is all ordained by God, not the individuals that are there. That's the election of human people. Then you also have the authority of the bishops and the priests. That's the highest authority. That's a supernatural authority. Christ gave a supernatural authority to the apostles, who, by the way, they're called in Greek episcopate, which means bishops, over all demons, and to cure disease and to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. That's basically teach, govern, and sanctify. But going specifically, a bishop of the diocese is the chief exorcist of the diocese. He has the mandate by his ordination, by office, to drive out all demons. Now, most bishops don't really even understand their authority. And I'll tell you, some of them can't exercise their authority because they're compromised. Because if you're living a double life, like many people are in our church, prelates in our church, when you pray over somebody to try to drive out a demon, you have no power. And in fact, if you're in mortal sin, you're going to be retaliated against. I think this is why a lot of priests and bishops that are modernists, they won't ever do any deliverance or minor exorcism prayers because they know they're living a double life and they will be retaliated against. They know. Mm-hmm. Our Lord also talks to the apostles about basically, this is a missionary mandate. You know, he says, just go out, take nothing with you. And it's funny, Terry, because again, you and me are Catholic missionaries. I travel a lot.
You sure do.
Sometimes I get put into these dumps, and Anita just hits me with her elbow, says, we're missionaries, don't complain. So I never ask. I never say, put me in first class, put me in the Marriott. I don't say anything. I let them put me wherever they want me. I've been, Terry, in some cockroach-ridden places where prostitutes are in the next room screaming.
Yep, I've had that.
And my wife will say, remember, we're missionaries. And sometimes I don't get fed that well. I'm like, okay, I'll grab an apple here, an orange here.
Hey, Jess, can I interrupt you, brother? Do you remember the time we were at a men's conference and they had some food from 3 days ago for somebody? And I won't say where, but we were eating 3-day-old hamburgers or sandwiches, and we were going, oh, this is going to make me sick. And we laughed about it. We said, you know what? It is what it is. But I don't know if you remember that, but I sure do. Three-day-old food.
Terry, but you know what? And then on the other hand, sometimes people are very nice and they put you up in a nice place and give you a good meal. So I don't complain. I just go and preach and whatever they want to do. But that's exactly what the apostles did here.
Right.
Christ says, take nothing with you for the journey, neither walking stick. So again, we have to remember that as Catholics. I don't want to mention names, Terry, but
it's
funny,
man.
We got some prima donnas in the church.
Hey, Jess, throw it out. We've been around for 40-some years.
Yeah, I've had people that won't go anywhere unless you fly in full
first class. And I tell them every time, hey, you know what, dude?
Yeah.
Stay home. We don't need you. Sorry, because, Jesse, we're not supposed to have this attitude of luxury. We're supposed to be frugal with whatever we have. So anyhow, it is hard to live. Sometimes when you're hungry and they give you, you know, a sandwich that's 3 days old, I got to admit, I was complaining. Hey, Jesse, I found out that this was given to the homeless. This is like 3 days old. They're going to, whatever's left over. I mean, we're just getting, I guess they got a low budget, huh? So it's life.
Terry, here's the last verse I want to quote about today's gospel. Sometimes people ask, man, my family, my friend, I try to share the faith. They got a hard heart. They're stubborn. They don't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know what? Our Lord Jesus Christ ran across that also,
yes,
and the apostles. And here's what he told them to do. He said, and for those who do not welcome you, in other words, they don't welcome you in the message of the gospel. Jesus says, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them.
Yeah.
In other words, quit tugging on green fruit. Evangelize. If they give you the middle finger or whatever they give you, it's time to shake your feet off and go to the next house where people are open, where people are hungry, and people want to hear the gospel. Our Lord told us right there, hey, these guys want nothing to do with you and the gospel. Just wipe the dust off your feet and go on to the next person.
Yep.
Terry.
Yeah, that's exactly what. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room real quick here. Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. Here's what he has to say. He's got a friend of mine. matter of fact, Jesse, I'm going to do this. This is fits right into what you were saying about our priests. St. John Hughes is Bishop Sheen's companion on this train. And he said this, the most evident mark of God's anger, the most terrible castigation he can inflict upon the world is manifest when he permits his people to fall into the hands of the clergy, who are more in name than in deed priests who practice cruelty, ravaging wolves, rather than charity and affection of devoted shepherds. Check this out. They abandon the things of God to devote themselves to the things of the world. And in their saintly calling of holiness, they spend their time in profane and worldly pursuits. When God permits such things, it's a very positive proof that he's thoroughly angry with his people and is visiting his most dreadful wrath upon them. I didn't say it, Jess. A saint said it.
Well, this is what's happening right now. You exactly. The prophecy, we're living out the prophecy of St. John Hughes.
Yep.
We as lay Catholics, we've been lukewarm and apostate, and our bishops have been derelict in their job, and we're all paying for it.
Spot on. Hey, folks, I still have some matching funds to give. If you want to donate a $50 to $25, it becomes double that. Call 877-526-2151. It's matching funds, or go to vmpr.org, and we'd be happy to match the funds up to the $600. When we come back, we're going to have Bishop Athanasius Snyder's interview regarding COVID-19 and the rules that may become a prefigurement of the mark of the beast.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Before I mention the Bishop Snyder's interview, I've been sharing good need-to-know files. Why? It's good for us to be praying for these things, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. We need to be praying for it, for the success or failure of it, depending on what side it is. Here's another need-to-know file. I'm so impressed in Texas, Jesse. I get more good news out of Texas than any other state in the union, okay? Texas governor signs bill banning abortion-induced drugs after 7 weeks of pregnancy. And it's a Senate Bill 4. It's effective December 2nd. The violation of the bill could lead to a $10,000 fine or up to 2 years in prison. Remember, this is the same state that did the heartbeat bill that the governor of New York's willing to pay for people to come from Texas to New York to kill their babies. So this is a battle, and it's intensifying. And I just want to say kudos to the governor, Greg Abbott, in Texas. Also,
Terry, the liberals are going to take them on. There's a liberal a doctor just committed an abortion this morning on purpose.
In your face, right.
And advertised it.
That's right.
Because, again, they probably want to take
They want to challenge the court. Yeah, they do. Good. Yeah. Well, that's why we need to be, the fight is on. Here's some good news, Jesse. Down in South America, the biggest country in South America is Brazil. The Brazilian president condemns vaccine passports, suppression of early COVID treatments. So this is, he says, we have supported doctors professionally in the quest for early treatments, measures in line with recommendations issued by the Brazilian Federal Council of Medicine. I understand, Jesse, that this president has got the style of a Donald Trump. He just takes it in and he doesn't mess around. He just goes right in and does what he thinks is best. And he's into people having choices when it comes to the COVID-19. So I just want to say, God bless the president of Brazil.
Terry, Bishop Athanasius Snyder is a prophetic voice in the church today.
Say that again.
He did an interview with LifeSite News.
Yep.
It's worth reading all of it. We're not going to, I'm just going to get to little sound bites in two segments.
Yep.
We're not going to go through all of it.
Right.
But he said that the COVID rules may be a kind of prefiguration of the mark of the beast. I've been saying that for a little while now. I'm going to explain. This comes from Revelation 13. I think it's 16 and 17. It says that the beast will not allow people to buy and sell unless they put their right hand and on the right hand on their forehead, the mark of the beast. Now, historians argue what that actually meant in the first century. There's different historical opinions, but the beast is a world power. It's a sovereign world power, a dictatorship, a totalitarianism. So we do have a beast right now. It's called the United Nations.
Yep.
It's called Biden and the Democrat Party. Those are beast-like figures because that's what the book of Revelation, the beast is a world power, a superpower, a country that has, and they got despotic, tyrannical power. Now, the mark of the beast in the first century, some of these Roman emperors, again, would control the people by, again, symbolically, the mark of the beast meant that you had to have pay your total allegiance intellectually to the Roman emperor, call him my Lord and my God. And with your right hand, the mark of the right hand meant that you had to serve him. You had to be a servile worker for this despotic regime. Now, this actually may be literally in our time where we may actually get the mark of the beast, which could be the jab. So here's a Bishop Athanasius Snyder, who's an outspoken bishop. Again, he comes from a communist country. So as Fulton Sheen says, if you want to see somebody, if you want to trust somebody, listen to somebody that knows what persecution is all about.
Suffering. Yep.
Yeah. Don't listen to somebody who's lived in a rosy red castle with chauffeurs and with the bellhops.
Exactly.
And has had, you know, everything's red carpet treatment. Okay. So this interview was done with LifeSite News. He answers what's called eschatological questions, some questions that may refer to the end of time, the end of the days. Now he says this: I do not say that the COVID-19 is the direct sign of the beast, to be clear, but it could be, and that's my position, it could be already in part a prefiguration of this sign. So he said that, again, because the state becomes the owner of your body. And that's exactly in the first century, the emperors owned the people. That was the mark of the beast. Intellectually, you got to submit yourself. With your hand, you have to do servile work for me. And so to take the jab, Bishop Athanasius argues that your body now is owned by the state. Again, Terry, we don't really know exactly what they're putting in us.
Nope. We've never been given the ingredients. No.
That's right, Terry.
Give me a break.
Yeah. And so... I'll go through some of it. He's asked this one question.
Yeah.
Again, the full transcript on LifeSite News. You need to read it. He says that this whole the QR requirement, the COVID-19, the mandates, the totalitarian mandates, the double jab. He says that this goes fundamentally against human rights.
That's right.
And human dignities. He says it's going to make two classes of people.
That's
in
right.
Our society. Those who are vaccinated,
yep.
And those who are not. And we're not going to have equal rights.
Nope.
So Bishop Snyder said that this means that people like us, Terry, we're going to enter into kind of a slave-like existence in our own country where we're going to have either no rights or limited rights, and our freedom is going to be substantially hindered.
Hey, Jesse, let me just jump in and say something about this. It's not in the article. I live in a little county of 10 million people, bigger than, it's about the size of Ohio in this sense of population. Yesterday, guess how many people died from COVID-19? 32 people. And I imagine out of those 32, they didn't die because of COVID, they died with COVID. Here's my point. Here, 10 million people, every time someone dies, it's tragic. I get that. But you know how many people died of heart attacks in LA County? More. You know how many people died of strokes? More. My point to you is this is so out of proportion to stop the economy, to make people take vaccines. What in the world is going on other than there's got to be something subversive here, Jesse? It can't be just in your face. Well, you know, 32 people last. And how many died yesterday? Oh, 28. They don't say that. You have to dig to get that. You know what they say? We had a 40% increase. 14 people died yesterday. It was 32 this week. That's a huge 40% increase. But they don't tell you how many. See, this to me is deceptive. That's what I wanted to say.
The mainstream media is involved in misinformation and disinformation, and they give us false information to control the low-hanging fruit American.
That's it,
brother. And there's a lot of them, Terry.
Yeah. And what Bishop Athanasius Snyder is saying, coming from Russia, he talks about, you know, when he was growing up, his parents did not want to cooperate with the communists. In my humble opinion, I know this is going to probably get me thrown in jail, Jess. I don't want to cooperate with the government. It's forcing me to take a jab. No, I'm going to say no. And if it means I'm going to have to suffer for it, well, so be it. Bishop Athanasius Snyder's saying basically that this is a really dangerous phenomenon. He said, we are now approaching it under the pretext, of course, of health
medicine.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not medicine.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so
it's politicized medicine.
That's what he's saying, and I happen to agree with everything he said there, Jess.
Yeah, he said that we're establishing a two-class society.
Yep. Yep.
And the people that don't get the jab, our rights are going to be limited, restricted. Our human dignity is being compromised and violated.
Jesse, leprosy, get away from me. Leprosy. You got to say, are they going to have us say when we're, I'm not vaccinated.
Yeah, we're
going to be
ringing a bell, walking down the street like the lepers in the Old Testament.
Exactly.
Unclean, with a bell. That's what they're going to have us do, Terry. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past Biden at this point. This guy's demonstrated to himself that he's President Frankenstein, okay? Yeah. That's what he is.
Yeah.
And Bishop Snyder says that, again, he's lived under totalitarian systems, and he said this whole COVID-19 is a return to the societies of totalitarianism.
That's right.
Marking your exterior body with a sign, I mean, Terry, the Jews know about that.
Yeah.
You know, blacks know about that as well.
Yeah.
When they were shackled and stuff. This is a dangerous phenomenon. Now, he's asked a question about the Spanish Constitutional Court decided that a theoretical vaccine in the case of a major epidemic cannot be considered constitutional. Hey, we'll take a victory.
Yeah.
That's good news, Bishop Snyder says, that no one can be forced by a government to be vaccinated. So this happened in the Spanish Constitutional Court.
And Brazil said the same thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. A similar decision was made by the European Council. Yeah. So that's another good sign, because if the government has absolute power to force you and to say how your body should be, then you've lost your last privacy, because your body belongs to you. And with this forced vaccination, the government is not in theory, but de facto declaring that it is the government that will become the owner of your body. And for me, and Terry, Bishop Snyder, this is the ultimate expression of extreme communism, because communism aims to say that all belongs to the state, such as a means of production and so on, education, family, that all is common. But now, Terry, this is worse, Bishop Snyder says, because again, he comes from a communist country. He says, these COVID restrictions, now even the body, your own body, is going to become part of the state or property of the state. But again, we'll take some of the good news.
Oh, yeah.
Spain, the European Council, there's other people, Terry, that are seeing the common sense and pushing back. And then he's asked about the imposition of a QR code.
Oh, yeah.
That's what, you know, right now when you go to a restaurant and stuff, they don't give you a menu that says, oh, no, you can't because of COVID. So they give you a little square block, looks like checkers and stuff. And you got to scan it on your phone and you can order something. You can order a meal. Okay, that's what a QR code is. Bishop Snyder says, look at these QR codes that we're entering into. He goes, we're going to be completely controlled. You got no more freedom. If they want to put a QR code on your body, are you kidding? Then the privacy of your body's gone. And the information about your body is now in this code. So yes, you know, the government can access it. He says, therefore, we have to protest this code, because this is going to affect the most fundamental rights, Terry, the privacy of our body. I mean, what do the liberals say all day long? My choice, my body? Well, what about now? Terry, comments?
Oh, I just think you're spot on. And when we come back from the break, another question that was asked to the good bishop was, he said, you know, I met many people now who for various reasons are absolutely opposed to the vaccine, but who risk losing their jobs, their families, and livelihood. I had several calls last night like that, and this morning too, if they do not take it. They say my duties of state are to ensure the survival of my family, and I cannot do otherwise than to receive this vaccine, even if I'm totally opposed to it. Added to this is the fact that many medicines and vaccines that everyone in France has received are already affected by this. What would you tell them, Bishop Strickland? Bishop Athanasius Snyder. Sorry. and when we come back, I'll tell you what he said, because it's good advice for all of us here Again, if you'd like to make a donation to Virgin Most Powerful, we got some matching funds. Call 877-526-2151 or go online to vmpr.org. We come back. Bishop Athanasius Snyder's advice for those who do not want to take this vaccine. He'll tell you when we come back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're talking about an interview with Bishop Athanasius Snyder regarding the COVID-19. And to summarize the question, it deals with, what do I do? I'm married, I have a family, and my, I work for the county and they're forcing me to take the vaccine. What would the bishop, good bishop, have to say? Jess, you want to give that answer?
You got it.
I got it right here. I got it. Okay. Go ahead. For other vaccines and medicines that are contaminated with, with abortion, we have proof that pharmaceutical companies have given proof that the medicines are tainted or tested. So he's talking about Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And so he says, I think that God will reward the people with many spiritual gifts if they choose to live a poorer life. That's a strong answer, isn't it? Rather than to cooperate with the fetal industry, surely they will not die from starvation. God will never permit it. That was our experience in the communist times of Russia when I was a kid. My parents did not collaborate with the Communist Party, for example. Therefore, my parents could not have a profession. Did you hear that, Jesse? They couldn't have a profession because they didn't want to cooperate with the communists. This was not allowed. And so they were simple workers. They had low salaries, and we lived in a really simple way. But God did not abandon us. We were happy in our faith, and this gave us riches for all our life. Even when others who have accepted the conditions of the Communist Party had better living conditions than we did, well, for Christian, for example, he says, and so I think we have to give again the primacy. Are you ready for this, Jess? The primacy to the eternal life, which has so largely been forgotten in recent decades. Even
absolutely.
In the church.
That's why Sister Dee Dee says,
exactly.
She says, I'm pro-life, but more than that, I'm pro-eternal life. Yeah, and that's what Bishop Athanasius Snyder is saying here. We've got to keep our eyes set on heaven. We got to keep our eyes set on heaven, not on this world.
Right. And that's basically what he says. Even good Catholics, we are invaded by a kind of materialism, he says, because we were so very attached to this materialistic life, giving primacy over the eternal. Over the spiritual, just what you just said. So he said, this is the principle. I would say change work. And even if I have to do a simple job like cleaning streets, I will still have some time, means to sustain my family, but in a poor way. This is the decision of conscience, I think. But God will reward the people, of course, and it will be a sign of protest and a witness that we are not collaborating with this horrible fetal industry. So basically, it's just what happened when a 200 health workers in Pomona's health hospital here locally here said, no, I'm not taking the vaccine. I want to have a signed piece of paper that says I'm opposed to it and you honor it. And what did they do? They fired him. And then 2 days later, they said, we can't operate our hospital without you. Come on back. We'll let you go. This is because people push back, Jess.
Yeah, and that's what we have to continue doing. Resist.
Yep.
No retreat, no surrender. Here, the last couple of questions, I'm going to make them very, very pithy.
You do it.
Because since this is a Catholic show, let's get very Catholic here.
Yeah.
LifeSite News asked Bishop Snyder, is this QR code an attempt to impose the mark of the beast of which the apocalypse speaks, or a sort of prefiguration? He says this, Bishop Snyder, we can say that this is perhaps already a kind of prefiguration of the mark of the beast. Maybe I would not say myself directly that this is already the mark of the beast. I have not yet all the elements to say this, but at least we can say it's a kind of prefiguration, because the apocalypse says you cannot buy or sell if you have not the mark in your hand on your body. This is very close when people who are not marked and their body with the vaccine. This is a mark. They cannot enter certain shops or supermarkets. They cannot enter, they cannot buy or sell. And this is literally being carried out right now. I'm going to jump to the next, the next bypass. He says, we have to find alternatives. It's very important even for buying and selling of products. Yeah. When we are excluded from public transport, as you know, as Christians, people of faith,
sure,
buses, trains, and so on, we can create a system of travel with private cars. We must already seek all the practical possibilities to avoid this new dictatorship over our body and our freedom.
Wow.
If we do not do this, there will be totalitarianism that will be complete, and this will be the end of every human society. He goes, I'm even appealing to non-believers and people of goodwill. Yeah. Please already start to plan alternative systems in transportation and buying, selling products, maybe even for school by having private study centers. We have to develop them at least theoretically and then practically with all these good people who are demonstrating how to survive. We have to make a world alliance of protests and alternatives with conservatives, people of faith, and people of goodwill. If we do not, we will have a complete totalitarian system, and this we have to avoid. He sounds like the same, just like Andrew Torba from Gab, the young Catholic guy that started Gab. He said the same thing, that we have to start a parallel society. We have our own banks. We have our own schools. We have our own, our own everything, our own pharmacies, because at this point, these guys are going to force us. You can't play with our marbles or toys unless you get the double jab.
And you know what? Food is a weapon, Jesse. Let's be honest. They use it's
God.
A huge weapon. I'm going to also encourage, it's not in the article, but I have chickens. I mean, you don't have to have a big yard to have chickens in L.A. County. Have the eggs. You got food there. You've got some land in your backyard. Plant trees. Get a little vegetable garden. As much as you can get food in your yard, and it's good for you to do that for the kids. We've always had gardens, but the point of it is you can't assume that our food supply is always going to be as robust. Look at what's happened.
Yeah.
You know, so just advice is prepare for the worst. That's my approach, Jess. Prepare for the worst.
Amen. Terry, here's a very Catholic answer from him as well. Just one paragraph.
Yeah.
Can again, very Catholic people want to know this. Can the QR code used to prove vaccine status already be in itself considered as a form of the mark of the beast? Look what he says in this one paragraph.
Yeah.
Yes, this code will contain all your private information about your health that is already under control of the state. This code is linked, as I understand it, to the vaccine. The vaccination contains at least some footprints of abortion. Even if they are very far from the horrible assassination of children, which is already in itself a satanic act.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how many bishops say that?
Wrong words.
The using of their bodies, of their tissues, is also in say satanic because it is a revolt against God, the giver of life. Wow. This guy sounds like Father Ripperger.
Wow.
In this case, the abortion-tainted vaccines have some satanic footprints, even though they be remote of the beast. So the vaccine with its corresponding code number is a prefiguration of the sign of the beast. I do not say it's a direct sign of the beast, to be clear, but it could be already in part a prefiguration of the sign, and therefore we have to avoid this also. This code is immoral in some way. As I repeat, the government is completely taking possession of your body. Terry, this bishop is looking deep into the future. He's looking in the eyes of spiritual warfare.
Yes, he is.
A lot of our bishops, their eyes are completely blind. They don't even go down this road, Terry, of making the connection between aborted babies and the blood sacrifice offered to Satan, putting this blood sacrifice in your body. Most prelates don't even connect these dots.
Well,
his last paragraph is the best one if you want to share.
No, you
it,
go ahead. You go ahead. You're on a roll, brother, because you're going to have to roll after this segment.
Yeah, he
go
says,
ahead.
What is a spiritual advice for Catholics? This is the best part of the article.
This is it.
But you got to read the whole article, but this is the meat of it.
Yeah.
He says, first, I would give them the word of our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. He says, do not fear those who kill your body, but fear those who kill your soul or damage your soul.
Yep.
We must not fear the government. We have to give the primacy to our soul, to our spiritual life, to the life of prayer with the sacraments. And thus, we should be deeply rooted in our prayer every day. We must be rooted in our faith, in our conviction that our life is ultimately in the hands of God and not in the hands of government. even in a dictatorship, even in a totalitarian system, our life is ultimately in the hands of God, who's our Heavenly Father. He's our Father, even when we are in certain periods of time and distressed and persecuted and humiliated, as with this forced vaccination. This is a relatively short time. So we have to look wider and further, because God permits this ultimately for the benefit of our soul. St. Paul says all will contribute to the greater benefit of those who love God. All things will contribute to the benefit of a greater good if we are rooted in our faith and the trust of the providence of our Heavenly Father, knowing that our life is in His hands. This gives us the confidence. We know the current sanitary COVID dictatorship. This totalitarianism is short. It is relatively short. It is not eternity. History has always shown that dictators did not last long. Did you hear that, Biden? And God will even show to these new sanitary dictators that their power is limited. We have to believe that God will intervene in history. We must also concentrate deeply on the fact that maybe this is an appeal of God for us to go deeper in our prayer lives, our sacramental lives, more confession, more communion, more prayers. Maybe we should be united with all those who are opposing this dictatorship to make a chain. Maybe these difficult times are an opportunity to confess God, to be faithful to Him, because God is good and He always gives us the necessary graces, and He rewards us in difficult times and gives us His consolations. This is my counsel and my advice, Bishop Athanasius Snyder. Terry.
Amen, Jesse. That's going on the internet, what you just read. That's why I wanted you to read it. I knew you would read it with passion, brother. It knocked me off my horse. Good stuff. Jess Romero's going to roll because he's got times to go, but we're going to have Kim from Church Militant on when we come back to talk about the three stories that they're putting on. We call this a strength and honor segment, and this is important. We usually have Michael Voris on, but it's important to know what's going on in the church so that you can be praying for that and to keep it in. Hey, don't forget, we have matching funds still. That means somebody donated $1,500. We still have about $500 or $600. We can match that. So if you want to take care of it with one $500 donation, hey, that's $1,000. You can call 877-526-2151 or go on the line to vmpr.org. You notice we don't fundraise all the time? No. But you know what? We need it now. So call us at 877-526-2151. We'd love to have you match those funds so your $50 is now $100 and so on. We'll be right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to Terry. Hey.
Jesse.
Yes, Kim Tarsa from Church Militant. I always like to say I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, Kim, I'd be a billionaire. I'm so happy to hear you on with us to talk about those three stories on Church Militant's weekly or daily news. So welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I don't think she can hear me right now, but that's all right. Kim is going to be with us talking about the news that is coming out with the three stories for tonight's show. Can you hear me now, Kim? Nope. Well, once we get our technical problem solved, let me know, Mr. Engineer. I want to also remind people before we come on with Kim that we are close to getting our matching funds. So if people want to continue to help us with our matching funds, give us a call at 877-526-2151. Kim, can you hear me now? Nope. She still can't hear me, Mr. Engineer. We're having issues, but we will persevere. You know, one of the things I wanted to mention is that good to know file is that our church right now is quite quiet when it comes to some of the challenges that are being faced in the church today. And I want to encourage everybody to be praying for Holy Mother. Every Thursday night, we pray for our priests, our bishops, and I want to encourage people to make sure they do that, because we can't do anything without prayer. And also, I want to promote tomorrow, Jesse will be out flying back from where he's going. We've got Steve Ray to talk about the Gospel of Matthew. Let me know when Kim is on the air with me, and I'll move right with her. Kim, are you? Can you hear me now? Nope, not yet. Okay, we'll just keep persevering. That article that everybody talked about with Bishop Joseph Bishop Snyder, I want to mention that we're going to have Bishop Strickland and Bishop Snyder on together on the Bishop Strickland Hour, so I'll keep you abreast on that. Kim, can you hear me now?
Yes, can hear you.
I talked about you, and I said, oh, my gosh. Kim, I'm delighted to have you here on the Terry and Jesse Show. I love your smile. Keep smiling, young lady. Hey, I wanted to give you time to talk about, we call this the Strength and Honor segment here with Church Militant, with the news, faith, and culture. So could you share with our listeners a teaser what they're going to get this afternoon when they turn their computer on to listen to the news?
I will most certainly and gladly share that with you. First off, we're really excited because tonight we are actually going to report live from Dubuque, Iowa. That is where Michael Boris is right now. That's why he's not here with you today. He's going to be reporting live from a fundraiser that's going to be taking place with a Catholic radio station where Michael will speak, as well as keynote speaker, Father James Altman. I think many of us are familiar with that name. And what's interesting about this is the fact that the Archbishop of Dubuque put out a letter basically warning Catholics not to attend this event tonight because of Father James Altman. So from what I understand, though, it's not going to keep Catholics away. They've already purchased, I think, between 700 and 800 awesome. Tickets. They're expecting a great turnout.
Can we give a plug to that radio station? Because I love anybody who's willing to do that, because we've been taken off certain stations in the last month because of our orthodoxy. And when a Catholic station willing to stand up like that, that tells me that they're really not afraid of persecution. So do we know the name of that station?
Well, I know it's part of Aquinas Communications. And so if you just look that up, you will get all the information that you need right there.
We're on their stations all the time. Those guys are great. So that makes sense. But I want to give them a plug because I like giving like-minded souls here. Okay, well, that's grand. Kim, what else is going to be talked about?
Well, also, our very own Paul Morano is going to do an in-depth report on some recent abortion cases, one of which is going to go before the Supreme Court in December that could very well overturn Roe v. Wade. So this is huge. It's significant, something that we all need to be praying about. Of course, he's going to take a look at the recent Texas abortion heartbeat law and, you know, taking a look at how the Biden administration has really been going after this, trying to protect abortionists of all things. And so we're going to take a very close look at that. And then also, you may have seen yesterday the meeting that unelected President Joe Biden had with UK's Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
Yes.
And if you saw that, you know, they had their meeting and afterwards Johnson took questions from media. But then when it came turn for Biden, he was, you know, having none of it.
Yeah.
That's right. And so, and they actually ushered out all the media, and they're starting to file complaints over that, rightfully so.
Good.
So we're going to take a look at that as well. So lots of great stories tonight.
And what about the third one we can talk about? What do you have left after that?
That was it.
Now, let me ask you this, Kim. People can listen to this news podcast Monday through Friday, but with they go to Church Militant's website, not only you have the news there, there's all kinds of other resources, even what I'd love to see, the resources of teaching people the faith. There's a great series on the Eucharist that Michael did, I guess, 2 years ago, and that is just fantastic. So I want to encourage our listeners to not only watch the news every day, but take advantage of signing up as a premium person, because there's so many resources. I think there's hundreds, if not thousands, of videos that people can resource. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, very fair. And it's only $10 a month. And as you mentioned, I mean, there are years worth of videos on the faith as well as articles. You know, we have the latest headlines that we show every single day. So there is a lot to keep you busy, and it will keep you learning and growing in love for Christ and His church. And we encourage you, once you, you know, catch on and you start watching Church Militant, please tell your friends about it. Tell your family. Absolutely. You know, you become ambassadors for us, and we appreciate that so much.
Kim, I want to thank you again for coming on the Terry and Jesse Show. We look forward every Wednesday to give you guys that plug, because we're with you 100%. And again, for those who have never heard of Church Militant, which hardly anybody, but if you haven't, go to their website, look around what they're doing, because this is really the work of God's work, exposing error with truth. And it's what truth will set us free. That's what the Bible says. So, Kim, thanks again for coming on board.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
God bless you. Thanks.
God bless you, too.
Hey, folks, Matthew Arnold is in Studio A. I see him over there. To see if I could get Matthew to talk a little bit. I know today he's going to be talking about ecumenism, and I know his source is Father Levosic, so I'm going to surprise him if he's over there, and Mr. Engineer can put him on to give us a teaser. I have a minute or two for Matt to tell everybody. And again, if you can't listen on the networks that we're on, go to vmpr.org to get a free app. That way you can listen to all the shows that we have, from Bishop Joseph Strickland's show every Tuesday. You can listen to all these podcasts. We have Gary Machuda's on apologetics. We have Jesus 911. We've got lots of resources for you. And I'm assuming Mr. Arnold's not ready to come on board, but I do want to encourage you to listen to him and to all of our shows. We also have the Bible with the Barbers. That's every Friday. And that's a Bible study. And again, tomorrow, Steve Ray will be coming on board. And what we're going to do is hit the Gospel of Matthew, because we just celebrated his feast day. So many people are scared, right? Well, let's get into God's Word. And I can't think of a better guy than Steve Ray to inspire us to read more of our Bible readings. And we're going to talk about the Gospel of Matthew. And that'll be a fun thing to do. Now, I notice we're having some technical difficulties, but that's okay. I see it. Matthew, are you in the studio there?
I am in the studio, well,
my clock freezed on me, but other than that, I'm doing great. I want to give you a couple minutes here to give a plug for your show, because I'm fascinated by that topic. I think the second half is on ecumenism, and I think it's Father Levosic who you're using. So
that is right. Yeah. That is right.
Well, tell us about your show.
Well, you know, it's funny, and we're going to be talking about other things as well. Mm-hmm. We're going to devote probably the whole second half of the show to the quest for unity, right? Ecumenism is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. It's mm-hmm. about the reunion of Christians into the one body of Christ, into the Catholic Church. But there's a lot of acrimony. There's a lot of different ideas regarding ecumenism, it seems, these days.
Yes.
And I just wanted to go back to the source. It's one of those, will the real Vatican II please stand up?
Oh, yeah, please.
Segments.
Yeah.
Because we're going to look at it. And our listeners, I know people that have kids or were kids, in the last 50 years are familiar with Father Levosic's books, especially for children. He wrote over 30 books, 75 pamphlets, very, very prolific. But, he's very, I think, very trustworthy.
Oh, big time.
And so, I turned to him for his take on ecumenism.
Matthew, let me give a plug for you and I. I think we're both going to be on October 2nd at a conference here at the Sacred Heart Chapel.
That's right.
On Our Lady. Can you share a little bit of what you're going to share? And I'll
Sure. Yeah. The conference is called It's All Mary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the title.
Yeah. We're going back to look at some different Marian apparitions and the messages mm-hmm. that are associated with them. Approved, of course. I'm going to talk about Our Lady of Good Success.
Yes.
And her prophecies for our time, although, the apparitions happened back in the early 17th century. It was all specific for things that are going on in the church and the world right now. Mm-hmm. And then I know that you're going to be talking about Our Lady of Fatima.
Big time. And also... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Our Lady of Fatima, I'm excited to talk about, because... it's a reaffirmation of the gospel, as Pope Paul VI said. And I know you've got Our Lady of the Americas also to speak on.
Yeah, right. Our Lady of America.
America,
which, as just last year, was approved for private devotion.
Yes.
Right. So we're not going to have an Our Lady of America feast day just yet. Yeah. I say just yet because I'm not convinced that it's never going to be approved for the worship, but it is approved for private devotion, and that is good enough for the message that she brought.
Absolutely.
Very important for the country right now.
And so I want to encourage you, if you're not on you're on a regular AM station and you need to get our app to listen to the show, go to vmpr.org, download the free app, and you can hear Matthew Arnold's show today and many of the other shows. Also, podcasts are available. And I want to make one more pitch. We have a matching fund donor for over the weekend for the conference that we did with Father Charles Murr and others. And if you want to donate even $10, it becomes $20. If you donate $20, it's $40. And we have about $500 left to reach that model. And if you want to do that, I'll give you my cell number. I'll even do that, 661-972-7872, because then I can personally thank you. Sometimes if you call upstairs, I never know. So if you want to donate, go to vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. And I want to thank all of the monthly donors who have been so supportive of our ministry. And you can actually sign up on our website by going to vmpr.org or just call 877-526-2151. Okay. God bless you. Up next, Matt Arnold.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.